Blog Talk Radio.
Still I came through it, platform, but I'm the blueprint, I'm like the map form, I dropped another classic, made Puff have it, nobody can touch Puff back when Puff had it, Wayne scorching, I'll applaud him, if he keep going, pass the torch to him, 50 came through, like hurricanes do, I thought I finished his ass, summer jam too, I had the Illmatic on bootleg, the shit was so hard, so we was all dead, Wayne to the milli, 50 to the milli, yay too, but with M did
in the overpacked jail. I don't sell no crack, I don't stand on no corner. Got my life in order, no wife, no daughter, no house that I own, but the house I call home is my mama's, with a couch that pulls out on its own. And I still do my thing though, life ain't a game yo, still on the search for that gold under the rainbow. Back in high school I used to have a nice game yo, now I work at a grocery store stocking Drano. Dang yo, damn yo, little black Sambo, my boss is gonna make me flip out like Rambo. But I can't though, gotta set the right example for these other young black males, cause I'm the mantle. But if I think about it, 300 years ago I would have been in shackles. Damn.
This is the story of a young black male trying to talk to cemetery in the overpacked jail. Why yo?
To the shoulder, trying to meet a quota, hem you up, vultures, no sudden moves, they gon' say you got explosives, damn these niggas bogus, I'm dipping in the focus, got my check trying to hit the bank for their closing, young black males always seem to fit the culprit, making U-turns, tempo and they own it, had you on the most wanted, they call it all a mix up, when it's time to go home and they shifts up, now I'm 30 minutes late, trying to pick my chick up, didn't even get to see LeBron like the Knicks up.
The same old circle in the hood, turn it right back. Flip it around, you wouldn't want that hell. But that's the story of a young black male you sell. Oh well.
probably say. Everybody act according to the season that they born in. Some in the night, some in the morning, some at noon. Summer winter, summer June. It's all cool. It's the natural.
Well, welcome to the second edition of Each One Reach One. On this edition of the show, we will sit down with Justin Hansford, a young law school professor from St. Louis University. Mr. Hansford's background includes obtaining a law degree from Georgetown University, where he was the founding member of the Georgetown Journal of Global Critical Race Perspectives, a nationally published academic law journal. He served on the Obama for America campaign staff in Ohio, and he also worked for Imagine Southeast Public Charter School in Southeast D.C. after graduating law school, where he provided a host of different services to the school, including development consultation, startup assistance, and legal advice to the school. Additionally, he also founded and managed an after-school program in high school that used hip-hop to teach literacy to teenage youth. I believe Mr. Hansford was flying in from somewhere, and his plane got delayed, but should be joining us shortly. On the previous edition, or the first edition of the show, I hope you tuned in and you had a chance to listen to Mr. Ansel Pratt. Mr. Pratt is the Miami Heat Community Affairs Coordinator who shared a host of stories with us, including some amazing stories of just overcoming adversity, having an injury in high school, having people tell him, like, yo, you're not going to make it, you're too this, you're too small. He was actually a high school star football player, but now he coordinates all the events, the community service events for all the Heat players when they're doing giveaways and appearing at foundations and charities and so forth. So you can tune into that show and listen to the first edition. If you have if you have iTunes, there's a podcast available. Just go onto iTunes and search for The Vouch System, and the show will come up. Let me try to get our host on the line here while I give you another short pause and a brief musical selection. Hello, Mr. Hansford.
Yes. How you doing, brother? Thanks. Sorry for my tardiness.
Oh, not a problem. I understand it's a little hectic schedule. I was letting people know that you travel quite a bit and you had to kind of find your way to your destination. But thank you for joining us on the show today. I gave a little brief background about yourself, such as you're a young law school professor at St. Louis now. You worked on the Obama campaign on his first election, and also your work in the community and your work on starting the journal. So I wanted to get right into to sitting down and asking you a couple of questions pertaining to your background. And specifically, I've seen that you've traveled to quite a number of countries. How many countries have you visited, and what would you say spurred you to visit those countries?
Oh, wow. So that's a great question. I have visited Brazil, Trinidad, Jamaica, South Africa, Kenya, Guyana. Most recently, I went to London, France, the Netherlands, and Spain. So I've been to 10 different countries now.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a blessing. I think one of the unique things about my opportunities, I haven't visited those countries just to go to their resorts and sit on the beach. You know, in each place, I've been able to meet people who also are interested in some of the same things that have driven me, which is, trying to, make the world a better place, particularly for black people. The first time I traveled abroad, I went to Brazil in 2003, and I met young activists, black activists. You know, Brazil is a country that's over 50% black. A lot of people don't know that. And I was able to hook up with some young Afro-Brazilians who were really into hip-hop music.
And yes.
Yeah, and who in particular were interested in using hip-hop to try to promote social change. So this group, I created an after-school program. And in that program, they used hip-hop to work with high school-age youth in the favelas, which are basically, you know, that's the hood in Brazil. And, you know, they used hip-hop to get the kids off the streets. And in this after-school program, they'd also teach them math. And I taught English. And you try to, you know, use the actual music and the dance and the skill of music production and all these different skills to give them something that's an alternative to that gang life prospect, which is so prevalent down there in some of the so-called third world countries. And so
right,
what happened was, like,
No, no. That's interesting. Is that a kind of a connection to what you did in high school, which was starting your own television show, which was highlighting hip hop, or how did that come about?
Oh yeah, well yeah. I never thought of it like that. That's a good connect. I think when high school, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and that book really, you know, changed the way I look at my life and, you know, inspired me to use my mind to try to, you know, move forward in life. And you know, I saw his focus and his passion. And so I tried to apply that to everything I did. And things like starting my own TV show, seeing youth in Brazil starting their own after-school program. From a young age, I learned that you don't have to be old and, you know, in the mid stage of your career to start your own business or start your own initiative and try to make the world a better place through that. And you can also, you know, make money with it too. But hip-hop has always been something that was, you know, just fascinated me. You know, obviously, since I was a kid, I think all of us are like that. And it was inspiring to see that that's inspiring to people our age and other parts of the world as well. So in all those countries I've been to, I've seen people doing similar things, young people of color. I've met black people in all those countries who are, you know, also into hip-hop or who are also into trying to make their communities a better place for youngsters to live. And so it's amazing how, you know, finding one thing, one connection is an avenue to be able to just explore all new worlds and, you know, be able to travel and really, you know, be able to, you know, live out your dreams. Because I always wanted to travel to different places when I was a kid and to see the world.
Right.
That was something that was able to be a connection for me.
Now, for the kids out there, or for the, you know, teenagers or even young adults that aren't able, or not everybody's able to travel all over the world. I mean, what other ways maybe can they experience the different aspects of the world without having to spend thousands of dollars to travel the world?
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. So the beautiful thing about living, you know, in this, you know, world here in 2012 is, you know, we have all this technology which allows us to access anything we want anywhere in the world. And so, you know, if I was, say, a young person who is interested in things in different countries, you know, one of the first thing I would probably do is simply just get on the internet and, you know, number one, find out about any interesting country, whether it's Brazil, whether it's South Africa. You know, do some, it starts with something as simple as a Wikipedia search, you know. And then once you find a place that really is, you know, interesting to you, you know, learn about their language, learn about their culture. You know, find out if there's a study abroad program. There are many study abroad programs for high school and college age youth that provide scholarships for folks who don't have the financial means to travel. And, you know, see if you can apply for a scholarship. Sometimes it's based on your GPA. Sometimes you know, all they want is for you to provide an essay and, you know, talk about what you would do with that experience. So, you know, there are many avenues. I have two little brothers. One is 19, the other is 20. And, you know, neither of them has traveled anywhere yet. And so it's funny.
Well, you're a good role model for them, man. You're a good example.
I've definitely done it. And it's the first time that's the hardest. You know, it seems like something that is unattainable until you go abroad for the first time. And then once you do it for the first time, you realize how easy it is just to get a ticket and, you know, how easy it is to be able to navigate your way through another culture and how open people are to seeing you. You know, there are not many young people of color, especially young black males, who are traveling abroad and who are able to interact with people from different cultures. And, you know, they all have heard about us. They all love hip-hop. You know, I mean, young black Americans are really the envy of the world. I tell people,
all those
countries I've been to, you're famous almost when you land because, you know, the people, you know, in our history who have impacted the world from Tupac to Malcolm X to, you know, we could just go on down the line. All those people are world famous, and so our reputation precedes us, so to speak. So people
will take you in arms. I don't mean to cut you off, but you'd be surprised, actually, by, I'm sure you've seen it, but a lot of the kids may be surprised by how much hip-hop impacts the world. I just returned from Ghana, where I'm from, and you'd see it all over the street. I mean, it's down to a science. So, you know, using that culture to connect with people all over the world is taking place and taking hold, you know. So there's a lot of power in that culture.
That's right. That's right.
But I did kind of want to, you know, ask you a couple of questions. As far as I know, you've involved in the you were involved in the Obama campaign,
right?
In the first election cycle. How did you get involved with that campaign?
Oh yeah, that's one of the best experiences in my life. So what I did, I volunteered for free. In the early stages of the campaign, and like a lot of people did. And, you know, after that, it just so happened that I wasn't working. This was the summer of 08. I had just finished one job a couple of, maybe a month earlier. And so I was trying to transition to actually trying to do a career change. And so I saw the opportunity to work on the campaign full time and just jumped at it. And it was something that, you know, it was just an unforgettable experience. It was hard work. We worked literally 7 days a week, literally, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours a day. You know, it was to the point where we had all of our meals provided for us. And, you know, I thought it was a great perk. But then I realized it may just have been a way to keep us in the office all day. So we were there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And, I mean, it's hard work. And, you know, it was, you know, unforgettable. You just make lifelong friendships. People I worked on that campaign with, I'm still friends with today, 4 years later. And, you know, it's, you know, I was in Cleveland, Ohio, so I was really able to be in the community, and part of my job was to recruit youngsters to volunteer for the campaign. So sometimes I would go into high schools and talk to young folks in the high schools, sometimes to colleges, you know, it was just amazing because you're able to connect with people. And there's so much excitement, and you know you're working hard, but it all paid off. So, you know, you look back on it, and you're just proud that you were a part of that special moment. And I would encourage all young people. That's a great way to get involved in something that's positive, is something that's going to serve you well throughout your life, because the people who worked on that campaign with me, not only were they also political minded, but many of them are successful. They've gone on to, some of them went to MBA school. One went to Princeton afterwards. Another one went to a top law school afterwards. So a lot of these people, not only will they be great friends, but they'll also be able to help you along your road professionally as well. And so those relationships are really valuable. And it's a big reason why I am where I am today, because the people I met on that campaign and just being on that campaign itself would help me for, subsequent job applications.
Right. Well, it seems like if you follow the trajectory of your career, you've always been destined to be some kind of agent of social change. Let's see, what attracted you to such places like the NAACP, working for the ACLU, the USEEOC, and the Connectus, and then the public charter school? What kind of drove you to those types of places?
It's tough, because I was, like yourself, I was in a law school environment, and, of course, when you get there, everybody's talking about going to a big law firm. The firm recruitment thing is in full swing, and some people, that's a legitimate, valid endeavor, to work at a big law firm. You could be like Perry Mason and you in front of the
right.
court. But for me, I always knew that, like I said, I was really inspired by activists. I went to Howard. After high school, Howard University, and I was a Black African American Studies minor, and I had a teacher there. His name was Dr. Greg Carr, who's anyone who went to Howard would know who he is. He's an amazing teacher, and he instilled in me a passion to try to particularly do something to help the Black community. And they always told us, to whom much is given, much is required. And it always seemed to me that when you're privileged to get an education like we did, it's required that we use that education to try to help our folks, because it's tough out there, And
It surely is.
Yeah, so I always wanted to try to take that approach. I felt like all those organizations would do that, and then it's just a better, when you're able to pursue work where people are doing it for the right reasons, it's just a better experience. Everybody wants to get paper and get paid, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we need more Black folks who are paid.
Right. Yeah, I absolutely agree. But just kind of give a little like background or concept of kind of what drove you, motivated you to kind of get involved, and you come into that. One of your professors, it's always a huge, a kind of role model is having that puts that fire into you to go and be an agent of social change. While you were at Georgetown, you actually started a law journal focusing on modern critical race. How was that journal received at the law school?
Well, the journal, the first time we put in a proposal, the proposal was rejected. And, I think as in law school, there are often times where people come in and, they're young gunners and they want to make a change, and, big institutions are always slow to change. The first time it was rejected, and so our response was to take it and work on it even harder and submit it again. And so that sort of attitude where, you take rejection not as just failure, but just as something that is going to drive you to work that much harder next time, that's what a lot of us had. And, that whole effort was really valued by the fact that there were a lot of people who were in support of it, a lot of students, 30, 40 students who were working on that. You had professors who were supportive. And so, go back to what I was saying, about to say earlier, when you work on projects that are for the community, another benefit is that people will come and help you just off the strength. Like, you're doing something that is really important for everybody. So you're doing something for critical race theory. You know, people know that you're not just in it for yourself. It's about something bigger than yourself. And then so people will come in and help you. Like, if I was trying to start a journal on, you know, Justin Hansford Law, or, you know, how Justin can get paid law, you know what I'm saying? Nobody would be feeling that. But the fact that we were doing something that was about the struggle for racial justice, I offered the support. And so people outside the university, like I said, old former students, alumni, current students, other professors, and so they started to campaign and canvass the school, and they started to write articles in the school newspaper about it, and you know, people were really talking about it. Some students would go up to their professors and try to get their professors to vote for it the next time around, you know, by persuading the professor one-on-one after class. All these things took place, and so, you know, the second time around we got it through, and like I said, that was 2007, and yes, it's still going today, and it's you know, hopefully it'll be still going 20 years from now. So that's something, being able to be a part of something like that, that's just a huge blessing.
Right. And I see you've already you had a paper that was actually published in that journal already. Can you tell us just maybe 30 seconds about why you chose to focus on that topic in the paper with the Marcus Garvey?
Yeah. So this paper, like I said earlier, I was really inspired by this one book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X. I hope if nothing else, you know, someone who hasn't, you know, read that book or seen that movie, the movie X by Spike Lee. If nothing else, I hope folks go and watch that, because actually I learned about Marcus Garvey through that book. And Marcus Garvey was not one of Malcolm X's heroes. And Malcolm X's father actually was a member of Marcus Garvey's organization, which was, you know, also geared towards pursuing racial justice. And so that always inspired me. His story always inspired me. And he was wrongly convicted of mail fraud. He was deported at the height of his movement that he was building. And I always knew that it was an injustice. And once I went to law school, you know, I wanted to use my legal background to try to contribute to the cause of his legacy, because I was really, really grateful for his work. So
right,
that's what that article was about.
Absolutely. Now, Justin, why I have to ask you a question that I just gleaned from looking at actually your background. And I have to wrap it up. The show's wrapping up quick. But why are university presidents better than CEOs?
Yeah, that's a controversial one. So for me, I think that again, I had the opportunity to talk to a number of university presidents when I was in law school, and I was doing this paper, and you know, that's something, you know, you can, the beautiful thing about being in school, you can come up with a paper topic on your own if you have a good supportive professor, and go in and research it. And so I decided I wanted to meet university presidents, so I said, let me write a paper and say that they're better than CEOs. And that's my thesis. So all of them were like, oh yeah, we'll talk to you about that, you know. And so
good, that's a good angle, man.
Yeah. So you got to keep thinking about angles. Anyway, so they, you know, they tend to have less of a command control style, because they can't fire people. University presidents can't fire their professors. Professors have tenure. So
I don't mean to cut you off, Justin, but our show is coming to an end. So I'd like to thank you for joining, you know, us on the show today on Each One Reach For One, hosted by the Vouch System. And thank you for sharing a little bit of background with us. Thanks a lot for coming to the show. Any last words?
Oh, yeah. So this is an opportunity, and, you know, I'm really excited about this show, man. And you know, I think you're doing some great work here. And, yeah, you know, just keep it going. I'm hoping there'll be, you know, 100 episodes and I can come back again sometime.
We'd like to invite you back again in the future. Definitely. It's been a pleasure. Where can maybe some people find some of the work that you're doing if they want to do a little, you know, reading and up on some of the work and stuff that you're doing right now?
If you want to find out more about what I'm doing, I would say go on to the internet. You can go to my law school's website, St. Louis University School of Law. I think it's www.slu.law.edu, and they have access to everything I've done. Or you know, just Google me. There's stuff on there, and Google. Right. So.
Well, appreciate a lot, man. You have a great week, and I will definitely have you back on the show.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Quality say, everybody act according to the season that they born in. Some in the night, some in the morning, some at noon. Summer winter, summer June. It's all cool. It's the natural roll.
Thank you. Tune in to next week's show, same time, same place, 7:30 a.m., where we will sit down with another young, dynamic individual who is making a difference in their community. Till next week, have a good one.